This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Record gas prices, record profits. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. So, remember how gas prices hit record highs in June? Well, shocker, that led to massive profits. BP this morning was the last of the big U.S. and European oil and gas giants to release earnings reports for the second quarter. That's April, May, June. BP made $8.5 billion, triple what it made during the same period last year. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
Add BP's profit to the pile from ExxonMobil, Chevron, Shell, Total Energies, and the sum is nearly $60 billion in profit made in just the 3 months ending in June. In the first quarter of the year, the companies made nearly $40 billion. Oil giants have faced political heat for these numbers, accused of excessively profiting as prices at the pump reached new highs. Last month, Britain passed a 25% windfall tax on oil and gas producers. The companies are using much of their cash haul to buy back shares, a move that boosts their stock prices. They've also dedicated some money to increasing oil and gas production. A mismatch in supply and demand, especially with Russia's war in Ukraine, is what's moved prices higher. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 0.1%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are also down in the 6-8% range, with the Dow future down 208 points. Later this morning, we will get the latest government reading on how many people quit their jobs in June. People working in higher education started quitting in higher numbers as the pandemic got going. Enter then the substitute teacher. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes has that.
A couple weeks ago, the technology teacher at North Junior High School in Evansville, Indiana, quit. So Principal Ryan Merriweather is considering using the school's permanent substitute to fill in.
You know, substitutes are being asked to do more than what they were initially intended for.
Merriweather says it's always been hard to find substitutes, and the pandemic has just increased the need. He created that permanent substitute position so it'd be less of a scramble when he needed someone.
If they're subbing in the same school over and over again to where they get to know the kids and the community, I think they become a real asset to the essential functions of making sure the school can stay open.
Just as the job description of a substitute's changing, the resumes of people doing it are too. Nicholas Suarez with the staffing firm Kelly Services is seeing lots of people from healthcare try subbing.
Where they've kind of left their jobs because highly fatigued, burned out, stressed, but still want to work and care for people.
Suarez says it's an opportunity for former nurses to try out teaching and for schools to get people with science backgrounds in the classroom. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Tensions between the U.S. and China are running high at the moment amid reports that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi will visit Taiwan today. The White House is warning that China could respond to the visit with military activity, including firing missiles near Taiwan. Meanwhile, economic tensions continue to simmer. The recently passed CHIPS Act would offer billions in grants to companies to attract advanced chip manufacturing to the U.S., but would largely prohibit them from investing in similar manufacturing in certain other countries, including China, for 10 years. There are other proposals on the table to regulate how U.S. companies invest in sensitive technologies abroad. Joining me now is Scott Kennedy, Senior Advisor and Trustee Chair in Chinese Business and Economics at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Good morning.
Good morning.
There are a few versions of this idea that the U.S. should be monitoring or regulating how companies invest when it comes to certain technologies in certain countries, meaning China. What might that kind of review look like?
One model would be just simply requiring Americans who invest abroad in high tech to register those investments with the U.S. government. A more invasive approach would require U.S. government approval for certain kinds of technologies in certain kinds of countries as a matter of course. And then there could be something in between those two broad categories. So there's a lot of different ways that one could go about trying to regulate American investment abroad.
The ultimate concern is that somehow sensitive technology might leak out of the U.S. How would investment abroad do that?
So the U.S. has always been concerned about technology theft, leakage, and the dominant way that it has tried to regulate this is through export controls. I think there's some concern that certain types of technologies could get through that system. And therefore, there needs to be attention not just on the technologies itself, but on the investments and the funding.
The idea that the U.S. would, you know, somehow regulate or monitor outgoing investment from here to other countries has been criticized by proponents of free trade, venture capitalists, business groups, including the U.S.-China Business Council. And those concerns were enough to keep it out of the CHIPS Act, at least. What are the main concerns?
Having a very invasive outward investment screening system might be highly burdensome to American industry and innovators who are looking to collaborate with other organizations around the world to push the boundaries of knowledge, which helps them stay at the forefront of various industries. And if it's too onerous, we may end up killing the goose that lays the golden egg and constraining our own innovation at home and abroad, which might be a greater risk than whatever technology we might end up supposedly giving to adversaries out there. So I think we've got to strike a balance that does everything it can to continue to protect what's best about the American economy, which is our innovative ecosystem.
Scott Kennedy is a senior advisor and the trustee chair in Chinese business and economics at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Scott, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. Our engineers are Jessen Dueler, Brian Allison, and Jake Cherry. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishor with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.